Santa to bring them for Christmas. On one occasion, she reminded them of the true meaning of Christmas and the fact that Christmas is a time of giving and not receiving. You need to learn that, children. You need to get that through your heads. Well, the kids could really tell Mom was really meant what she said this time, but it sounded like absolute nonsense to them. It did not make any sense to them. So they secretly met and tried to figure out just exactly what was going on through their mother's mind. They finally came to a conclusion as to what must be done with her. They went to their mom in a very concerned manner, and the oldest child acted as the spokesperson. And this is what she said to her mom. "Mom, we've been thinking about what you told us about how important it is to give at Christmas. With all of our talk about Santa, you must have felt left out. We don't want you to feel this way, Mom, so I'll tell you what we have decided to do. Santa doesn't have to get us all the presents. If you want to get us some also, we're going to let you," they said, or she said, to her mom. Now, those kids did some very thoughtful planning in coming up with that response to their mom, who was trying to teach them the true meaning of Christmas. I can remember some thoughtful planning my brother and I did as young children, and at night, planning to sneak out of our beds and down the stairs at night to go to the kitchen to raid the cookie jar and Mom's cookie jar to get some of her homemade chocolate chip cookies as Mom and Dad slept soundly at night. On another occasion, we planned to spy on cars that were going down the street in front of our house, so we came up with the brilliant idea of drilling holes in the garage door with a hand drill to look out at the traffic that was going by. You can imagine how our dad responded to that one as we basically destroyed the garage. When it comes to kids and planning, I can't help but remember the movie Parent Trap. Remember that movie, The Parent Trap, where the two twin girls are plotting to get their divorced parents back together again? You know, God leaves nothing to chance when it comes to his eternal plan. He left nothing to chance, leaves nothing to chance. History is being carried out even today according to his plan and his intentions. And of course, as we know, the centerpiece of that plan is Jesus Christ, his only son, who came on that first Christmas to be the author of our salvation. Simply put, Jesus Christ and God planned this from eternity past, if you can say it that way, because there's no time in heaven, that Jesus was to come to die for our sins on the cross in our place. As our text says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." This is the God who plans ahead according to his timetable, and his timing is always perfect. And that's my first point this morning. The timing of Jesus' coming was perfect. Some people have the following notion about the nature of God's plan. And I've heard some people say this, and it goes something like this, that God had his plan A in mind when it came to his Old Testament people, the Israelites. That was his plan A, okay? Who were under the law, and when plan A failed, because the Jews did not live up to his covenant with them, they could not get it right, and they did not act as this beacon of light to the whole world for God, and they could not meet up to God's expectations, then God switched to plan B involving Jesus. Plan A failed with the Israelites, and so he went to Jesus, and it's like he said to Jesus, "Son, since my first plan failed, we're going to try something different, something radical, and this plan is going to involve you. You're going to come to the earth and be born in a manger to grow up to be a man, the only perfect man to walk the face of the earth, to take care of the price of mankind's sins and the sins of the world and give them another chance." Do you think God made deliberations like that with Jesus concerning his plan? Concerning the purpose and timing of his son's entrance into our world? Of course not. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, listen, God chose us in Christ when? Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Jesus Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. The timing of Jesus' coming to the earth and his birth in that manger in Bethlehem was according to God's eternal plan, which he never changed. Listen, it was always plan A from the beginning with God. It never went to plan B. It was always plan A for Jesus, or for God to send Jesus, in whom his plan was centered and focused upon plan. And this plan included everyone who would believe on the name of Jesus Christ and trust in him as their Lord and Savior, and then express that belief through their obedience to him. God's timing for Jesus' coming was perfect. It was right on time. When the time had fully come, our text says, God sent his son. That's an amazing statement there. When the time had fully come. Do you know what that means? It means that there was only one time in all of history when everything was perfectly in line with God's plan to send Jesus and to come. And Jesus came at just the right time in history. Christmas reminds us of God's perfect timing. There were, of course, numerous Old Testament prophecies predicting the arrival of the Messiah, God's anointed one, his chosen one who would redeem God's people. When you look at history, and this is very interesting, when you look at the dynamics and what was going on in history at the time and the conditions right before Jesus' arrival, you can clearly see with 2020 hindsight that God's purpose and God's plan, through his infinite wisdom in pulling everything together just at the right time to prepare and implement Jesus' arrival, you can see how his timing was perfect when you look back on history. For starters, the Old Testament had finally at that time been pulled together into one volume, paving the way for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament by that time had come together. That was the Bible that Jesus and his apostles referred to. Here's another one. Since the Jews had been displaced from their homeland by the Babylonians, there was no longer a temple at this time. And the Jews had developed an assembly we now know as the synagogue. And the synagogue was the precursor or the model upon which the early church was fashioned. And people were meeting in the synagogues, preparing the way for the church to begin and people meeting in house churches. Consider this one. Shortly before Jesus' arrival, with the coming of the Greek culture, the Hebrew Old Testament was translated into a style of Greek language with which ordinary people were familiar. And what did this do? Set the stage for the spread of the gospel through this common language throughout the known world. Finally, with the rise of the Roman Empire right before Jesus' coming, and the universal peace that they had created, they had the finest postal system and the finest set of highways ever developed up until that time, linking the entire Roman Empire together. That set the stage for the spread of Christianity as Paul and his companions went out on these highways, carrying the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone in the known world. Incredibly, Christianity eventually became the official religion of the Roman Empire because of that spread. Do you think that God knew what he was doing when he sent Jesus into the world at that time, at just the right time, just the right place? Do you think his timing is perfect? Even down to the Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, who was in power when Jesus arrived, what did he call for at that time that Joseph and Mary responded to? He called for a census, which in fact he was doing God's will and according to his perfect plan because of Augustus's edict requiring all the people to return to their birthplaces to be counted. A pregnant woman and her husband made an historic journey to where? To Bethlehem. which had been prophesied in the Old Testament where our Savior would be born. This is definitely a God who plans ahead. Amen? This is a God who planned ahead, and he plans ahead. In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus into the world. If God would do that for the salvation of the world, don't you think that he would do that for you and for me? If he would do that for the entire world's salvation, don't you think he would do that for you, one of his adopted children in Jesus Christ? For some of you, I would bet this Christmas season doesn't seem quite right because something has happened in your life to turn your world upside down and to make it very sad and out of place. And it seems out of time this year, and the death of a loved one maybe has occurred, or some other unfortunate turn of events and has thrown you for a loop during this Christmas season. Everything seems out of place, and some of you could just as easily cry right now as laugh at the drop of a hat or comment. You could cry your eyes out, and sometimes the voice of grief can drown out the voices of the angels singing on high. Listen, just as God's timing was perfect with the coming of Jesus, his timing is perfect for you in your life and in your loved ones' lives. No, he doesn't take away our loved ones at will. He doesn't do that. Snatch away loved ones at the snap of his finger. He doesn't willfully inflict pain in our lives as if that was something that he does. But he allows those things to happen. Why? For his reasons, for his purpose, according to his plan. And listen, his timing is perfect in bringing about the greatest amount of good in your life and mine, spiritual good, to draw us closer to him and for his glory and for our spiritual benefit. And we can trust in him. In our situation, in the situation that you're facing right now in your life, you can trust him completely. He knew what he was doing. He knows what he is doing. You can trust him with your feeling. Listen, nothing has happened to you or happened to me that has taken him by surprise. Nothing. Nothing takes God by surprise. He's in absolute control. You can rest on his timing. You can know he does everything, and he allows everything according to his will and his purpose for our lives and for this world. And if things don't seem to be working out for you right now, listen, he's going to make everything right for you in the end. He's going to make everything right for you in the end. In the meantime, he will give you the perfect peace. We've been talking about peace here today and celebrating peace. He'll give you that peace and joy to sustain you and keep you moving forward. Sometimes just one step at a time, but he will keep you upright and keep you moving forward with his perfect peace. You see how he plans ahead with the timing of Jesus' coming? And think about the manner of his coming. When we think of this, there was a preacher, and I'll call him Don, had a member whose name was George, who was a farmer, and this George lived on a farm for 72 years. He grew up on this farm. Once in the middle of winter, on a visit, Preacher Don visited George, and he found George doing his chores in the barn, and George was dumping a bucket of grain into a rough-hewn wooden feeding trough, and two calves were slobbering away at this grain all over it. A second bucket of grain was thrown on the floor where all the chickens got to it, and the turkeys and the geese, and they were cleaning it up grain by grain. While the fowl were busy, George was collecting eggs, and distracted by the sounds of the slurping and the pecking, Don backed away from the noise and noticed for the very first time that he was choking on all of this stench in this barn. It smelled to the high heavens. It was about that time that he backed up into a pile of, yeah, you know what? He stepped right in it. He slid right through it. Evidently, Don's face showed displeasure with his surroundings because George, as he passed by with a bucket of eggs, stopped in his tracks, turned, and smiled at Don, and he said this very quietly, "Brother, Jesus was born in a place like this. Jesus was born in a place like this. Hey, Jesus was born in a place like that. He was born of a woman. He was born under the law. Manger scenes are very popular to this day. And in some public places, they're still displayed where they haven't taken them down. The problem, I think, is that we've looked at these manger scenes so often And so many times, you know, Christmas season after Christmas season, that maybe we've never really thought about what that manger scene is all about, or what was it all about. We've never really considered the startling truth that it presents, that the God of all ages, through whom all things were made, without whom nothing was made that has been made, who resided in heaven with all of the glory and the praise of the angels with his Father, made his entrance into our world as a tiny infant from a lowly peasant girl in such filthy conditions. We forget that fact, that he was born in filth. If you and I had but one chance to make our entrance into the world like Jesus, we might do it just a little bit differently, wouldn't you think? We tend to like the head table ourselves. We like to be recognized. We like to be congratulated. We like to think sometimes that somehow the world revolves around me or you. I mean, we get mad when we're personally attacked and our ego is affronted. But not so with God. There was nothing proud or self-serving about the manner of Jesus' coming as planned by God the Father in heaven from eternity past. Nothing. He humbled himself, as the Bible says, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I want you to think of the ugliest car that you can possibly think of. And I'm thinking of my first car in high school. And that car was just ugly upon ugly. It had rust all over it. And its doors were being held on with wire. I think one of my doors was held on by wire. And you couldn't tell the color of my car because it was so faded and worn. The most interesting thing, maybe not on my car, but I've seen this bumper sticker on other cars, which says, "This is not an abandoned car," you know, or "This car is paid for." I want you to think of Jesus' coming and all that filthiness and stench. And now think of the God who identifies with you and I, who can make a mess of our lives sometimes. He identifies with us completely. The forgotten, even when we think that we're forgotten or we're wounded or scared, he places a sign on us that says, "This is not an abandoned, rejected sinner. This is my masterpiece in Jesus Christ." You see, with the manner of his coming, God is showing us that. He identifies with us. He demonstrated his love and commitment to us even when we did not love him first and we were not committed to him first. And he's that way with us today and all time. This is the God who plans ahead with the timing of his coming, the manner of his coming, and lastly, the purpose of his coming. And I've already alluded to that. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Jesus was born in a manger to grow to be a man, to pay the penalty on the cross and for our sins, and to adopt us into God's family with all the rights and privileges of royalty. He came to die for you and I and forgive us and give us his very best. You know, in closing, there was a family vacationing at their lake home one summer, and Dad was puttering out by the boathouse and not really paying attention to his two boys who were playing on the dock, ages 12 and 3. The 12-year-old was supposed to be watching the 3-year-old, but he had taken his eyes off the 3-year-old momentarily. And here the 3-year-old had sauntered down to the fishing boat at the end of the dock and tried to step in and lost his balance and went right down into the lake. The splash alerted the 12-year-old, who let out this heart-piercing scream, and Dad came running from the boathouse and dove in looking for his little boy, and he couldn't feel anything. He went down to the bottom, could not feel his son. In panic, he came up for air and went back down again, feeling along, and then when he was coming back up again, he finally found his son, whose hands had this death lock around one of the posts of that dock. And Dad had to pry his hands loose from that post, and they both came bursting up out of the water to that life-giving air. Later on, when his adrenaline and nerves had finally calmed, the father said to his son, "Billy, what were you doing down there hanging on to the post so far down in the water?" And Billy said this, "Just waiting for you, Dad." "I was just waiting for you. Just waiting for you. I knew you would come." Christmas reminds us of that fact, that God sent his only Son, to remind us that our waiting for our Savior ended on that first Christmas. What we needed, God provided on that first Christmas, exactly what we needed at just the right time. When the time had fully come, he came to save us from our sins. He came to give us eternal life. Listen, don't ever give up on God and think that he has forgotten you and your situation. Don't ever think that. Remember, his timing is perfect. He plans ahead, and he will never, ever give up on you. Amen? He'll never give up on you. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for you being our God whose timing is perfect, as exemplified through the coming of Jesus, which was just at the right time according to your eternal plan for our salvation. And through that timing and through the manner of his coming, the purpose of his coming, Father, we see very clearly that nothing that happens to us in our lives takes you by surprise. You are in complete control. You are in charge. And whatever's happened, if something bad has happened to someone here today, Father, you're in complete control of their life. And with their loved one, maybe who has passed away, to go be with you, they are fine in your hands and care right now. And that was something that you allowed for whatever reason we don't understand completely on this side of heaven. But we can still trust you, and we can know, Father, that your timing is perfect, and you still love us, and you gave us your very best in Jesus Christ, who reminds us of the fact that he sacrificed everything, and you sacrificed everything to bring us back to you. We thank you. We praise you. Pray, Father, that this word from Galatians has brought encouragement today to this flock, and would help us, Father, remain upright and strong in Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and encourage us, especially during this time of the year when so many people can be discouraged and who feel lonely and left out and forgotten. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnal and turn to hymn number 249 as our hymn of invitation this morning. Jesus paid it all. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of this great, great hymn, Jesus Paid It All. Let's stand and sing together hymn number 249. Associated with the break-in last week, we had Linda and Kathy, and I think Buck was here at the church building. If I'm missing somebody who came down to help clean up, I know those three did a lot of work in trying to get things back together here for this Lord's Day morning service. So You see, Linda, Kathy, Buck, you give them a special thanks. And Kathy and Linda have been over there today at the Family Life Center working very hard for our tasting tea. And just give them a word of encouragement today for all they do for our church. They do a wonderful, great job, okay? Let's bow our heads right now for a word of prayer, and I'll be praying for the meal that's to follow, and we invite all of you to stay. Please stay for this very special event. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for, again, this Lord's Day during this Christmas season, that we remember that you never forget us, and you always go with us in our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, who's pointing us always to Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing upon this meal now to follow, this tasting tea special event, and we do thank you for those hands who have helped prepare it and who the people in our church that work so hard, Father, to see that we continue. We all work together as a team, and we try to do our very best for you, and we thank you, praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.